Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk. Here is your host, J.P. Finley.
What up, folks? J.P. Finley here, and I have some terrific news for you. The NFL preseason is over. The next time you see the Redskins on the field, it will be a real game. Doesn't that sound damn awesome?
You meant finally over.
Right. So, obviously, Rich Tandler is here. Tandler, say what's up.
Hey, what's up?
This is Redskins Talk to Podcast. I probably should have said that earlier, but I have a feeling if you're listening, you know what you're listening
you
to.
You clicked on it. So
Tandler's having some real trouble with this chair here.
Well, I just decided I should turn it around instead of
wrenching
my back.
I always like to give our location. We are in the interview room in Raymond James Stadium. It was actually pretty interesting. Just because of the way the fourth preseason game works, it's usually like a very hurried atmosphere after the game. So I was down here for Jay Gruden's presser, and it was just me and Mike Jones for Jay Gruden's presser. There were two other Tampa folks that didn't ask a question, and it was just me and Mike going back and forth asking Jay questions. And, you know, you could tell Coach kind of wanted to get moving. And the reality is, and I think what you and I should spend the bulk of this podcast discussing is the next 48 hours probably suck for the Redskins coaches in front office.
Yes.
I mean, they're going to be working nonstop. They got to trim this roster from 90 to 53.
Their least favorite time of the year.
And not only – I asked Gruden this. Not only are they trimming their roster, but they're watching what's going on everywhere else around the league to see if there's a guy they've had their eye on that becomes available.
Yeah, but they probably know – I bet they know 95% of the players who are going to get cut. So I think they can already kind of set up a priority list.
Yeah.
Who they want to put claims in on, or if the guy has over 4 years in the league, who they might want to call the agent and send a contract offer to.
It was kind of funny. So in Tampa, the visiting locker room is super small, and because the roster's 90 people, the Redskins don't open the locker room to the media following the game. Usually we're allowed in there, we can talk to guys, we can get some questions answered, whatever the process. This time, just the Redskins PR staff brings out certain players to talk to the media, and it just creates a very different kind of feel to the post-game process. But I was standing there kind of killing time talking to, I don't want to say who it was, but I was talking to two members of the Redskins front office just about the process, the actual process of cuts. And they said, nobody wants to see the Turk. And I was like, what does that mean?
Look at that flashing red light.
It's fine.
Okay.
It just means we're talking loud, I guess.
Okay.
Hopefully that's okay.
Nobody wants to see the Turk. I'm sorry.
Nobody wants to see the Turk. And so what it is some young member of the front office staff, whether it's an intern or just
quality
control coach, somebody down near the bottom, all the guys that are on the potential cut line are, whenever that guy comes in the locker room, they're all looking straight down. Nobody wants to make eye contact because that guy's not the guy that cuts you, but that guy's the guy that says, hey, coach needs to talk to you, or hey, Santos, or hey, Doug needs to talk to you. And when you get that, when somebody needs to talk to you, you're generally turning your playbook in.
On these 2 days, yes.
Yeah. When the coach wants to talk to you, most of the time, it's good because they're paying attention. And
right.
Maybe
he knows you exist.
Right. Maybe you're going to get yelled at, but at least he saw you do something. When the coach wants to talk to you tomorrow or Saturday, it's not good news.
No.
And, all right, so, but if you're listening out there, don't look out for the Turk. You don't want to see the Turk.
But you know what? Whether you avert your eyes or whether you go into another room, the Turk's going to find you. He's right. Going to come.
Yep.
He's going to give you the word.
All right, so this is going to be a relatively quicker podcast. One, because we want to get out of this rainforest of a stadium. This is the hottest, swampiest place in the world. I guess that's just Florida in August. But two, there's a lot for us to discuss, but so much of it is going to be settled out over the next few days.
We don't want to spend too much time on a shelf on a podcast that'll have
a
shelf life of less than 48 hours.
So I think Tandler, just talking through the schedule, cuts all that to be in Saturday at 4:00. Correct.
Right.
So I think we'll have to do another podcast maybe Sunday morning for next week once we know the 53 guys on this roster.
Right.
All right, so that's just a little housekeeping. All right, down to business. One guy that
we take care of our housekeeping on the podcast.
Right.
We don't have time to otherwise.
Right.
We need to.
Let's talk Nate Sudfeld. The numbers were pretty good. I think he was 22 of 33 for 230.
228, yeah.
No touchdowns. Gosh.
Well, only sacked once.
He got rid of the ball pretty quick.
Got rid of it.
Made some good throws. Made some legit good throws.
Like with fire, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a cannon of an arm. The arm strength is not the issue.
Right.
I think he made good decisions. I was talking to Matt Hazel in postgame, and Hazel said.
The leading receiver.
Yeah. Hazel played well. There was one catch, if you remember the catch Hazel made on the sideline where he tapped the toes to stay in bounds. He told me a funny story that DeSean Jackson was right there on the Bucs sideline messing with him, saying, "You didn't get it in, you didn't get it in." And Hazel was like, "Yeah, I did, yeah, I did." And sure enough, he got it in. But Hazel said on that play, he was certainly happy to get the catch and show the coaches he can do the toe drag. But I think he said Mo Harris was wide open down the seam for what would have been a bigger gain. So I imagine watching the film and, you know, all the Twitter film experts that are out there, there's going to be some plays Sudfeld wanted back. But, I mean, try to give it a grade. What's like the performance? What would you grade his performance?
I'd go a B minus.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking B minus.
You know, would have liked to see him throw for a touchdown.
The one that he missed, I think it was to Pascal.
Yeah, it was to 16.
I mean, that post, it was there, man. And the receiver had to slow down for it.
Yeah, he just needed to lead him right into throw it right to that middle of that Bucs logo in the end zone.
If he hits that ball, then I don't think we're really debating if he makes this team.
Right. You know, but you wonder if one play, does one play really make a
difference?
It
shouldn't when a guy's been with your team for over a year now.
Right. You know, you can see him. You know, you kind of look at the body of work.
Right.
So I don't know if that would have clinched it. But, you know, I kind of – it's like we just said on TV. I think Sudfeld probably would have had to go out there and play like his shoelaces were tied together in order to lose the job. I think Gruden likes him. He likes quarterbacks, like kind of like his brother, but maybe not to that extent.
Well, all right, so I think you told us your answer. So you got Sudfeld making the 53?
Yeah, I have to change it. This afternoon I was kind of redrawing my 53 to put up in the morning, and I took him off, but I'm putting him back on. I think I got to take off?
Mac Brown?
Yeah.
So you still think they're going to go 25-25?
Yeah, I don't know. Or
– well, let's see. So
Mac
everybody
Brown
knows
– or Anthony Lanier.
So everybody knows there's three specialists that make the team, so that's three, kicker, punter, long snapper. And then often NFL teams go 25 on offense, 25 on defense. There's some speculation that the Skins might go 26 on defense, 24 on offense.
What's
I don't know about four running backs. To me, I don't think you need four running backs.
So you put Sudfeld on.
No, I guess you do need four running backs.
No, you don't.
Three quarterbacks,
four. They usually go with three. You don't.
Right. Yeah, and I think you can get Mac back to the practice squad. They really like him. Although, I'll say this, man. Tonight in Tampa, Brown was playing better than Samaje Perine. Greg Abernathy, you are a saint. Greg Abernathy just brought us boxes of chicken fingers. And cookies and apples. Wow, man. You are the man, Abs.
Let's not eat the chicken on the air like Mitch did last week.
Yeah.
Thank you, Greg. I'm on the air right now, okay?
All right, let's keep it moving. Do you agree? I think Mac Brown was better than Samaje Perine tonight.
Yes, I would agree. But Samaje didn't have anything to run through. Anything.
He lost his feet on that screen pass that yeah. he had plenty of green yeah. in front of him. Yeah. Now, it wasn't a great ball, but Nate was also under duress getting rid of that ball.
Right.
He made a nice catch to get that ball, but it wasn't an impressive play once he had the ball.
No.
All right, the other side of this thing is tight ends. I think Derek Carrier has pushed what we thought would be Sprinkle for a fourth tight end. Carrier looked good last week against the Bengals, and Carrier oddly didn't play. So what the hell do we make of that?
They know what they have in Carrier, I think. And I think it's also possible they didn't want him to get injured in case they might have a trade offer or something, you know.
Or at least an interested party.
Yes, an interested party or two.
Okay, so are we both thinking three quarterbacks, 8 O-line, 4 running backs, 4 tight ends, 6 receivers?
Three running backs.
Okay, so is our math right? So 8 O-line, 3 QBs is 11.
Right.
3 running backs is 14.
6 receivers.
6 receivers is 20.
Wait a minute.
And then 4 tight ends?
We missed something, dude.
All right, so that's 24. And then that leads us to the other side of the ball. The D line is hard to figure,
but, man.
Man,
did Mbeu or Francis do anything to play their way on?
No, they did not. Neither of them did. And I know that people think one of those guys will make the team because of the Phil Taylor injury at nose. But I'm thinking more and more it's going to be Ziggy Hood, Stacy McGee in some sort of combo role at nose.
Rotation.
So I got Allen, McGee, McClain, Ziggy Hood certainly making the team. Matt Ioannidis is making the team. Matt Ioannidis possibly could help them at the nose as well. So that's 5,
Lanier.
And then 6 would be Lanier. I don't know that they go to 7 with Mbeu or Francis.
No, it's like I said, had either one of them, and again, we're looking at body of work.
Right.
I don't think body of work, either one of them really stood out and said, hey, I deserve to be on this roster.
But if they have an extra roster spot, if we only got 24 on the offensive side of the ball, it could work that they go with a 7th
line. Maybe that saves Will Blackman.
Maybe that saves Will Blackman, or maybe that saves Mbeu. Mbeu was good early in camp.
Or maybe it saves Josh Harvey-Clemens.
Who had an impressive night. All right, so let's go to the linebackers. We know Brown, Foster, Compton, Spate are making the team.
They're the inside.
We know on the outside, Kerrigan, Anderson, Preston Smith, Chris
Junior
Carter,
Gallette.
I think, and Junior Gallette.
Right.
What? Here's something we haven't talked about. What if Ryan Anderson has to start on the pup?
He can't.
Why not?
You have to start on injury reserve.
Which is 8 games?
Yeah.
D. Hall's going to start on the pup.
D. Hall went into camp on the pup.
Okay.
You can't put somebody on pup.
Now?
After they pass their pre-camp physical, you cannot put somebody on pup.
And that's why they put Reed on the pup, was just to keep him.
Right.
Okay. Well, IR would mean 8 games for Anderson. I'm not projecting that, but we haven't gotten any straight answers on the Ryan Anderson situation. Any.
Right. Well, I mean, he said it was a shoulder. He said it was lack of mobility. He said that there's week one concern.
Yeah, but 2 weeks ago it was he'll be right back.
Okay.
I mean, this thing
is
lingering.
Now, I mean, I don't know if they expected it to or not.
Right.
I don't know if they downplayed it. And
well, most guys, a stinger is like a 2-day injury.
Right. But then you had Corey Lichtensteiger
right. Go
out extended periods of time with a stinger. So.
All right. So, well, we've got 9 linebackers, right?
Right.
And that's with Ryan Anderson making the team, not any sort of injured reserve or anything.
So that's
and
that's,
I think that's the play.
So 6 linemen, that's 15.
So we're up to 15. So we got 10 roster spots left.
10 defensive backs.
And I think we both agree that they're going to have 10 members of the secondary making this team. I'm starting to think it's going to be 6-4. Will Blackman hardly played tonight. What do we make of that?
They know what they have.
This time last year, Blackman played a bunch.
Right.
But
well,
the roster's
been cut. They were going to keep him.
Right. And the roster.
The roster had been cut.
Right.
So, yeah, there were guys. I think there were 33 guys they put on list saying they weren't going to play. And probably, I don't know. I don't have time to count the all the did not plays, but
well, and Monte a lot Nicholson of names didn't play
Monte
either.
Nicholson didn't play.
Let me see the list.
But I think it's because he had it made.
Right. I think Nicholson's on the list. It's going to be interesting. I mean, really, the decision. So corners that we know are making this team: Norman, Breland, Fuller, Moreau,
Dunbar.
So then the question becomes Josh Holsey.
I think Holsey's got to make it.
I think Holsey makes it. And on the at safety, we know Swearinger, Cravens, Everett, Nicholson.
Right.
So if you're going six, you got to go four.
Or you can go 6-6, go 26 defense.
And, 6-5, you're saying.
No, 6-6. Or yeah, 6-5, excuse me.
And six then corners,
just go,
five safeties.
Then go with 26 on defense.
And that's the roster we just crunched.
Right.
So that keeps...
That's your quarterback gone, or your...
So that keeps Blackman, basically.
That keeps Blackman. And
who's a very versatile player, can play corner, can play slot corner, can play safety, can play specials.
And is also 31 years old with a, not a huge salary, but...
I think it's under a mil.
No, 900K, yeah. I think sounds right. So that's not much, a whole lot more than a rookie would make. So money is not really a reason, but keeping a younger guy...
To develop
is.
Who would that younger guy be? I mean...
Harvey Clemens.
But he's a linebacker.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's still a roster spot.
Yeah. He made a heck of a spot. He made a heck of a play when he needed to tonight.
Yep.
And I tell you what, man. One thing that's really fun for me in the preseason is we get to talk to some of these guys on our post-game show that otherwise we're not normally angling. You know, because...
Right.
In the regular season, we want to talk to Josh Norman or Rob Kelly or guys that make a big impact.
Right.
But getting to talk – tonight I got to talk to Nate Sudfeld, Josh Harvey-Clemens, and Matt Hazel. All of those guys were so cool and had such unique stories. I mean, Suds we know because we've all talked to him.
Right.
Harvey-Clemens was out there with no shoes on. And I said to him, I was like, Josh, man, we can wait a second if you want to go get some shoes. He's like, man, I'm from the country in South Georgia. I'm not worried about it. I just thought that was hysterical. And then Matt Hazel, listen to this story he told me. So Matt Hazel is from North Augusta, South Carolina. So basically Augusta, Georgia,
yeah,
just
the
other side of the river. I think there's a river
that's Aiken. But anyway.
But he's from North Augusta, man.
Okay.
So he was on postgame. Chick used to work in Augusta. So they had a cool little conversation. And then I didn't get a chance to ask this on air because we had to wrap. But so I'm like, well, Matt, we're talking about Augusta. Have you ever been to the Masters? And he tells me when he was a kid, he used to go and work at it. And I was like, oh, my God, what were you doing? Like, and he said as he got a little older, he would valet park. So he would park the guy's cars. And he told me that Tiger Woods tipped him $800 for parking his car for the week. How cool is that?
You know, somehow that probably jeopardized Hazel's NCAA eligibility.
Well, he's done with the NCAA now, so it doesn't matter.
They can't come back and get it.
I just thought that story was so cool.
Yeah,
and that's the
that
kind
is.
Of stuff you get to find out in the preseason.
Right.
Cool. All right. Lots going to happen over the next 48 hours. We just laid out what we think are our roster projections. We'll actually write those down firmly tomorrow. I know you'll have yours first thing in the morning. Mine will probably come a little later.
Not too much later. They're probably people that get cut tomorrow, I think, are people we very much
Matt Jones is going to get cut tomorrow. Matt Jones is going to get cut on Friday. Unless they think they got some trade work.
Why not give it to the dead of the deadline?
Yeah, I guess. We shall see, man. Taylor, anything you want to tell the folks?
No, just thanks for tuning in. Subscribe.
Yeah,
comment.
Subscribe. Review.
Like I said, we're dropping to the we'll drop probably three of these a week easily, maybe four some weeks.
Yeah, three easy, maybe more. We appreciate you guys listening. We really do. And we get a lot of fun feedback on Twitter. We appreciate that. We both have Facebook pages. Check those out, too. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back in touch very soon.
Very soon.
If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.